I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Sarah and Vinny.
Bike. B-I-K-E, bike. Text the word bike to 72881. By the end of this hour, you got $1,000. You might be the lucky national winner. That number again, 72881. Message and data rates apply. This hour's code word is bike. We'll have another code word for you next hour and throughout the day. 9K a day, Vinny.
Woo. Bicycle. Bicycle,
know. It's my the closest bike. Thing I can find a bike.
I want to ride my bike. Bike. I want to ride my bike. My bicycle. I want to ride it with my bike.
Wow.
I love I like that song.
It's a great song. It's a good one.
Queen's weird because while they're accomplished musicians, they've got a bunch of goofy songs.
Yeah, they do.
Fat Bottom Girls is such a weird thing for a gay guy to sing.
Right.
Make the rock
Don't you think?
Sure.
It's a good song, though, right?
I wonder if he was out when that song came out.
I think that he, I don't know. Was he always out or did people just assume? Or
I don't know, but I don't
Wasn't he married?
He was, for according to the biopic. And she was like, Freddie, you're gay. I was like, am I? Okay, I might be. So listen. Game of Thrones is...
I can't believe we're still talking about
this. Well, we are, and we're never going to stop.
Oh,
Marcus was on Facebook the other day talking about...
Oh, God, he's so annoying.
He goes, I just watched it again. It still sucks.
God.
These two were fighting last week, Vinny. Thank God you're back.
You and because, Marcus were?
Yeah, he was they were
just,
fighting.
It was like the second day. He was just sticking his foot out and tripping me everywhere we went. I was like, oh my God, I can't wait for Vinny to get back here. You are awful.
What was his take
just
on
stupid crap.
Game of Thrones?
Like, it didn't matter what I said, he would say the opposite thing. So exactly. I'm like, I can't stand the end of Game of Thrones. Right. We sit around talking about it. And he's like, well, that's just stupid. They just ended it the way, just accept it. I'm like, I'm not going to accept it. How dare you? So the thing is about it, is that they ran out of George R.R. Martin's actual material, season 4.
Mm-hmm.
So then they wrote their own thing. And by the
But he was a consultant on it, right?
Not the whole time. He was not happy with the show. I want to say he consulted maybe season 5, but then by season 6 it was...
They'd pushed him out and just went their own way.
Yes, and he has said mean things about it, too.
Oh,
he
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Game of Thrones, he is saying... That you've seen an ending.
Wait, who's he?
George R.R. Martin.
Oh, okay. So he said you've seen
an
ending.
An ending. So there, I think he's written 5. He's in the middle of the 5th one, and there's going to be a 6th and 7th. Of course, we'll never see those. He's going to die.
Yeah, he is not a young man, and he's not taking care of himself.
No, he's, well, and, you know, I mean, he's rich, so maybe he gets new blood every day. Who knows?
Okay.
He gets, you know, rich people, they can do whatever they want.
So he did season 1 through 4 and then dropped
season
out.
1 through 4. Oh, so when he was done with his source material, or when they had made it through his actual story, he walked away from
That's
it.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
Maybe he didn't like the direction.
And he only
they
helped
were going.
With a couple episodes each season.
He is the writer of the novels that are behind the show. And if you've never read them, they are epic, they're long, they're wonderful, they're amazing, and you'll cry when they're over. So George R.R. Martin...
If you can keep all the characters straight.
It's true. You do need
a
notebook.
Oh, my Lord.
There's a ton. And you think there's a lot in the series. Like, the book is ridiculous. And every chapter he'll introduce someone new. So he says he is finally finishing... A Song of Fire and Ice.
That's book 5.
I think, yes.
Okay.
I'm not positive. I think that might be the overarching name of the thing. I don't know. Then there's 2 remaining books, The Winds of Winter and A Dream of Spring. And they are going to, he says, diverge from the HBO series that ended in May of last year. He says, people know an ending, but not the ending. Told this to a German newspaper called Welt. Mm. Welt. Because, of course, it's called Welt. They're tough people. After season 4 of Game of Thrones, They no longer had his original source material to work with. They forged their own, the Davids, David Benioff and David Weiss, forged their own narratives for the major characters. And lukewarm is the best description for the people who had read the books and the viewers of the show. Martin said he didn't expect the HBO adaptation to outpace him. He figured he'd have the fifth or the sixth book ready to go. Of course, he was so excited with his newfound fame and fortune.
Fame, right.
After a polarizing final season, fans created a petition that over a million people signed, urging HBO to remake the season. He was asked if Game of Thrones could still be turned into a movie, and Martin said, at this point, it wouldn't be for me to decide. HBO controls the film rights to Game of Thrones. He said David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, the two creators behind the series, actually wanted to end the saga after the seventh season with three big movies. He says... It was supposed to end in, originally, it was supposed to end in theaters. 4 or 5 years ago, it was discussed. Ultimately, HBO said, we produce TV shows, we're not in the cinema business. And we're not doing that.
Makes sense.
I mean, I guess. There are HBO movies, but they're on HBO.
Right.
So I guess they didn't want to do a big theater thing.
Well,
but
plus,
the good
they've got this, they've built this audience.
Right.
To meet us here.
Yeah.
On our channel.
Exactly. You pay your, we don't want your $10 to go to the movies. We want your $10 a month.
Right.
Forever.
Forever and ever. Amen. Looks like George R.R. Martin agrees with us. The end of Game of Thrones on TV sucked. And if he lives long enough to do it, there will be a different ending.
He's not that old, though. I mean, but he is heavy, so maybe.
He's in his 60s, though.
He's 71.
Oh, boy.
He's old.
He's old. Aww. And he doesn't take care of himself. I mean,
70 ain't a promise. So you're lucky you get there.
Yeah, you get to 70. Yes. You know, good on you. Uh-huh. Aim for 80. So, oh, God, I love Game of Thrones so much. Beautiful. What a beautiful, beautiful TV series right up until the end.
And the soundtrack, too, is great.
The soundtrack. What's that guy's name? Ramin
Djawowski or something like that.
Djawowski. Yeah. Just delicious. We listen to this all the time at the house. Just like play music from the soundtrack to Game of Thrones. And that little lady
do you act out
sits in my kitchen. We don't act out scenes. It's just beautiful.
Djawadi.
Djawadi.
Ramin
Djawadi.
With a DJ.
DJ.
DJ
Wadi.
DJ Awadi.
Djawadi. There is a major movie. It's shrouded in mystery. I originally thought it was The Matrix. This Project Ice Cream thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
going to be shooting here in the next few weeks.
This now is the Keanu Reeves thing?
Yeah. Now they're saying...
It's not?
Well...
The Matrix?
I'm seeing Bradley Cooper's name attached to this. Oh, okay. I did hear that the guy who played Agent Smith,
uh-huh.
whose name always escapes me, is not coming back for this. I know.
Tongue.
We always do this.
From The Matrix?
Yeah, he's the Agent Smith from The Matrix.
I've never even seen.
Hugo Weaving.
Yes!
There is, yeah. Hmm. Hugo, it's unusual. So there's a major movie with a working title, Project Ice Cream. It's scheduled to begin filming around San Francisco's financial district.
Oh.
Listen to this, you guys. February 9th is when the filming is going to start. They say that there's been notices distributed this week to those businesses. It's going to be filming involved action scenes, mostly on weekends and weekdays from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. Low-flying helicopters, pyrotechnics, drone cameras, crash stunts, simulated gunfire. One particularly intense scene will take place over 2 days in late February on Sansom.
Oh, right,
there.
Right behind us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Additional filming in Soma and Chinatown.
Excellent.
They're saying they don't have any real specifics about the film or what it is, but the title Project Ice Cream has been widely tied to the fourth Matrix project and is due to star original cast members Keanu Reeves, Carrie Ann Moss as Neo and Trinity. Let's see. Sunday, February 9th through Sunday, March 31st.
Mm.
All around
wow,
downtown.
That's a long time.
It's a long time. Production is also currently seeking extras. Hello. 18 and up who are available for large blocks of time on set.
Oh.
So if you were looking for a little side hustle.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot of overnight work, though.
Yes.
Know?
The 10 p.m. to yes. 7 a.m. thing is.
We should, Bryn, we should walk around and click on the signs. That we're gonna
try to get in the background of the shots.
Yeah.
Stupid.
The notices to local businesses arrived, I guess, last week, not long after he was spotted in Alameda eating an ice cream cone, Project Ice Cream. I guess there is...
Oh, that's funny. Do you think that is a correlation? Him being photographed eating an ice cream cone and...
Probably. I mean, does that guy really go into a Baskin-Robbins by himself and sit out on the front step?
I'm pretty sure Keanu Reeves has become a master of public manipulation.
Yeah.
He really has the best PR of anybody. I mean, the funny... If you look him up and read stuff about him, people love him more. I read a tweet from somebody that said something like, my future husband and kids will have to be okay with the fact that I love Keanu Reeves more than I will ever love them. And I'm like...
That's funny.
What the hell is this guy?
Yeah, that's wrong.
He's just
It was a guy that tweeted that?
I don't even know who tweeted it. I'm just saying, the point is, he has loyalty like nobody.
Yeah. He's great. Isn't there a new Bill and Ted coming up?
What's the word?
They said that before.
Probably done.
But Keanu's known for secretly giving millions of dollars to foundations.
Yeah,
children's, animals, everything.
He gifts people on all his sets, too. Like, didn't we hear he gave everybody a Harley Davidson on
some
set? All
of the stuntmen on The Matrix got Harleys.
Yeah, and I'm sure that that's not the only time he's gifted everybody on the set stuff. He is, he's great. I do love Keanu, and he's in...
Always be my baby.
Mm-hmm. The Randall
August
Park.
August this year is going to be Bill and Ted.
Oh, really?
Oh.
So that, you're right. That has to be shot.
Face the Music is what
it's
called.
It would be silly, right?
Unless, I mean, the turnaround would be they couldn't shoot it after The Matrix, and he's doing that for the next 2 months.
He's Keanu. He can do whatever.
You're right. He's like a hero. He's a superhero. I've seen John Wick.
John Wick is so good.
Badass. People love it.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. So there you go. Project Ice Cream could be The Matrix. Probably The Matrix. And it's also, I think they have some shoots in Alameda as well, which is where that Baskin-Robbins was. I'm not sure if that's finished, but I know that February 9th through March 31st, various times and days in San Francisco. Want to hear a new Pearl Jam song?
I may have heard it, but I want you to play it. Is it The Clairvoyant?
It is. Dance of the Clairvoyants, it's called.
Okay, wait. Before you hit play, it's so different.
I'm hearing that.
Have you heard it yet,
though? I haven't heard it. I'm going to listen to it right now for the first time. They say here it's their funkiest song. What do you make of that description?
Easily.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say that there's weird influences in there where you go...
Is it John Frusciante?
No. Well, why? Is he part of the song?
Sorry. No. I'm thinking of the Chili Peppers. When I think funky, I was thinking...
I would say... 80s kind of influenced.
Like a little Wang Chung tonight?
I was reading about it, and I read there's some Talking Heads influence in there.
They say it's shockingly light on its feet. It's from their album Gigaton that's coming out March 27th. Doesn't sound anything like... Well, they're saying they're making all these weird comparisons, but they're basically saying it's the band's funkiest song in forever. An obvious debt to Talking Heads.
Oh, there you go.
Comes at close at points to an actual David Byrne impersonation rather than the Jane's Addiction, Red Hot Chili Peppers vein that the band was doing when Jeff Ament was borrowing his blah, 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 blah. Oh, my God. Who the hell wrote this? It's like references to Strawberry Shortcake, and I'm like, what are you doing?
All right,
all right, let's just hear it. It's called Dance of the Clairvoyants. I love it.
No, it's good.
I mean, the keyboard thing is definitely a new wrinkle.
I was just trying to...
But yeah,
that
is
very
80s.
I was trying to figure out, is there any way they made this sound with guitars? I don't think so. It's got to be
Unless
a keyboard, right?
It through one of those
synthesizer
boxes, like right?
It's got to be a keyboard. They must have decided to put that in.
We're going 80s. It's like that is so the last thing. If you play that, you'd already heard it. But if you'd play that for me and I didn't know that was Pearl Jam, I might have. I mean, it's
Eddie's
pretty, signature sound. But still, it'd be like, is that the Talking Heads with a new singer? Eddie Vedder as a Talking Heads?
It's one, you know, crazy. What? They're one of those weird bands that I they may not be, I don't know what to say about them anymore, but I still love them. Mm. I don't really hit play on any of their albums as much as I used to, but I still, you can, I'll go see them live if they come around. I mean, if you know, schedules allow.
Sure.
I mean, Tool came through and I was like, I'm going to see Tool. Oh, that night? Oh, I can't make it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
3 o'clock comes around early. Something about your routine. Anything that puts a wrench in my routine. Weekends. They do it every weekend. Put a wrench in. Legendary Monty Python star Terry Jones died Tuesday night at the age of 77. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, but we had just heard the news, and so Bryn actually has just left the room. But
what just happened?
He was going to play me some clips from Terry Jones.
Bryn!
No, I'm sure he knows. The family said he passed away with his wife by his side after a long, extremely brave, but always good-humored battle with a rare form of dementia called FTD.
Oy.
He was a founding member of the Monty Python comedy troupe along with Graham Chapman, who died at 48. I think Graham's the other one that's passed away. Yeah, he was 48, died in 89. John Cleese, Eric Idle, Michael Palin, and Terry Gilliam. So Terry Jones was a member of the original troupe. They first rose to fame on a sketch comedy club called Monty Python's Flying Circus, 69 to 74. They made several movies: Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Monty Python's The Meaning of Life, Life of Brian, which Terry Jones actually directed. And those movies are—they're great. You mentioned yesterday you get stoned and watch those movies. It's like they're the ultimate. They're the ultimate. They're just—that's what they are. They're just four stoned people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really funny. Were you able to find that a couple clips of Terry Jones for me?
I was. I mean, there was the one where he's in the restaurant. And
he's Mr. Chris. So
yeah, but I couldn't tell if there was cuss words in there because
this one's so gross. This is the one where the dude is gigantic and he's barfing into a bucket.
Well, he's just finished his. He says, "Would you like it after dinner, Mint? It's wafer thin. I can't eat another thing.
I don't know it.
Play it. Give me a look. Are you going to play it or you're not going to play it?
No,
oh, Jesus.
Oh, boy.
There might be swears in there. Bryn. I don't really know. Come on, Bryn. So all of his Monty Python co-stars, of course, are paying tribute. They miss him. Actually, I liked this one. Terry Gilliam said, Terry was someone totally consumed with life, a brilliant, constantly questioning, iconoclastic, righteously argumentative and angry, but outrageously funny and generous and kind human being. And often a complete pain in the ass. One could never hope for a better friend.
Aww.
I know, I thought that was so nice. And John Cleese said, 2 down, 4 to go. That's Terry Jones. Oof. And then as soon as he eats it.
He sounds stuffed too,
doesn't he? Starts saying, better get a bucket. He does sound stuffed. He sounds like he's got marshmallows stuffed in his mouth. Metallica, they put their careers on the line at the turn of the century by going up against Napster mm-hmm. and trying to pave the way for artists to keep getting paid for their work. And it didn't turn out well. Kirk Hammett said, we did not make a difference. It happened, and we couldn't stop it because it was just bigger than any of us. This trend that happened that effing sunk the effing music industry. There was no way that we could stop it. What had happened was, all of a sudden, it was just more convenient to get music and it was less convenient to pay for it. And there you have it.
It's a trip.
Yep.
It's a trip, too. The things that... What was the other one? Not Napster, because that one went away. There was another one called LimeWire or something like that.
Yep, LimeWire.
Yep.
And it
there
was just...
Few.
They called them BitTorrents,
yep.
where pieces mm-hmm. of the song were put together
and
from other places.
And then your computer would put it all together for you, and you'd have the whole song.
And so no one could say you stole it from anyone.
No, I grabbed this chunk and that chunk. And
what the
somehow
heck?
Technology put it all
just
together.
Just happened.
And I'll leave you with this.
Don't leave me.
I'll never leave you, but I'll leave this break. I'll leave this break with this. The Hunger Games, great books, fine movies. They're fine. Who cares? There's a prequel coming out, and people are actually not excited about this. A prequel book. It's called... Oh, thank you.
I like the books.
Me too.
I didn't finish the movies.
Yeah, I didn't either. I watched the first one. I think I did watch the second one, and I was like, oh, enough of that. But the books are great, and it's a good concept. I thought it was cool. The plot of this... It's a prequel novel called The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, and fans do not like it.
They are unhappy after learning that the plot of Suzanne Collins' book revolves around President Snow, played by Donald Sutherland in the movie trilogy during his younger days. The novel set 64 years before the original Hunger Games novels start, you know, with Katniss Everdeen. Mm-hmm. And according to an excerpt published by Entertainment Weekly, Coriolanus Snow is a teenager.
What's gotten into you today?
Well, look at it.
You're so butt obsessed today, though.
Just trying to keep up with you.
Oh, wow.
That is true.
Thank you, Yuzi.
Yes.
Coriolanus Snow. He's a teenager born to privilege but searching for something more. A far cry from the man we know he will become. Here he's friendly, he's charming, and for now anyway, he's a hero. Mm. And that's pissing people off. One wrote, literally, who asked for this? Out of all the stories to tell, Snow's is one no one is interested in. Another said, I couldn't be more disappointed by the next Hunger Games being about upping President Snow and trying to paint him as a misunderstood hero. Are you kidding me? People are so serious about their books. God, I know I am. And actually,
well, you know, I mean, if you've written something that people are passionate about, you've done a great thing, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, as George Lucas knows, you can try to continue on with it, and suddenly the people think that they can tell you your business. He finally went, bye.
Yeah, I'm done with that. You have it. Go ahead and make it go the way you want. Let's do some fan fiction here.
No more Star Wars for me.
Right. So isn't somebody, I don't know, Photoshopped Donald Sutherland's face onto, like, you know, a young man from the Capitol? I'll read it. I don't care. I want to hear more about how this whole, I think that instead of America, it's now called Pan Am.
Yeah.
And the Hunger Games are older than that, right? I think they probably started 10. Wasn't there the 75th Hunger Games?
Oh, I don't remember. I read the books a long time ago, and I'm telling you, as the movies were coming out, I fell off and didn't even bother.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't know.
Well, there you go. If you're a huge fan of the Hunger Games, there's something coming for you that you're going to hate. Vinny, what's coming up in the news?
Super Bowl parties, science, and more.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.